Betting on sports can be hard, but hiring Morgan & Morgan is easy. Morgan & Morgan is America's largest injury law firm. They have over 100 offices nationwide and more than 1,000 lawyers. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/bestbets or dial pound law. That's pound 529 from your cell phone. That's forthepeople.com/bestbets. This is a paid advertisement.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, welcome to the Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross here at Circus Sports Fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada. Our GM, Michael Lombardi, back on the East Coast. Michael, great to be back with you. Great week. Good to have you back. A lot of fun. Yeah. You and Will Hill crushed it for the whole week, so I'm glad I didn't get Wally Pipped by the great Will Hill. But it was fantastic watching you guys from Virginia Beach, and a really good weekend of football, obviously, as we saw, Michael.
Wow.
And it wrapped up last night with another kind of snow globe game that we saw in Buffalo. You know how it is in Lake Erie coming off there, and we had tons of snow with that Bills win last night, 35-10 over the Niners. What is your takeaway from it? Allen is now, of course, the favorite, -210 to be the MVP. They're rolling possibly towards a one seed if they can get a loss for the Chiefs here down the stretch. Is it more about the Bills last night or about the Niners that just feel like they're decimated now at 5-7?
Well, I think it's a combination of both, right? The Niners went in there completely undermanned, and then they lose McCaffrey. Look, here's the thing about the Buffalo Bills. They can't stop the run to save their lives, but you can't run the ball on them. They're 28th in the National Football League in yards per attempt allowed rushing. But the problem is you get behind them. They play offensively, and so you can't call run plays when you want to stay in the game. They're going to give you 4 and 5 yards. They're basically saying to you defensively, Buffalo, hey, if you can put 12 plays together, we'll let you get to the red zone. Then we're going to play really good down here. And the Niners just don't have enough. And, you know, the field, what's amazing, David, is the field is filled. They got all that snow in Orchard Park, and downtown Buffalo doesn't have a drop. The Niners stayed in downtown Buffalo. You know, and they would have to drive to the stadium. To get to the stadium was like getting into the going through Siberia. But then when they got to the, you know, getting to the airport, it's no big deal. So, yeah, I think Buffalo, I think the one other thing that's really important to note here about Buffalo is they changed their team since they lost to Cincinnati in that playoff game at home. They have changed the face of their team, and now they're more of a power run team. Right. They don't have to feed a superstar. They don't have to feed Stephon Diggs. Everybody plays within the team concept, and they can run the football. And so when you get a snowy, windy, cold day like they had here, that offensive line responded. They could run the ball. Cook was outstanding. And Davis, the same thing. And I think to me, that's what you have to have. They finally have a Western New York offense to handle the elements, but they also have an offense that can go into Kansas City or to go on the carpet anywhere they have to play and win.
You know what's fascinating too, Michael, is they win the Buffalo Bills now the AFC East for the fifth straight year. Even the great Marv Levy didn't do that. He had won it 4 times in a row. So they'd never done that in franchise history. Josh Allen is now the all-time touchdown passing leader for the Buffalo Bills. He passes the great Hall of Famer and Jim Kelly. I mean, I thought this year was going to be, you know, the Dolphins and the Jets and take your pick, and they weren't even the favorites to win this division. And yet here they are at 10-2. I like that the new playoff format, Michael, is only the one seed gets that automatic bye in the first round. How important will that be for Buffalo? Because we saw Kansas City beat them last year in Buffalo. Can they run down Kansas City, and how important is it for them to get that one seed?
Well, it depends on who the seventh seed is. I mean, if it's Denver, Denver matches up to them, actually. They really do. I mean, Denver can run the ball, which you have to do. You've got to be willing to take 4 and 5 yard gains against Buffalo. And we saw it at the beginning of the game. We saw it at the beginning of the game when they were playing San Francisco. San Francisco was moving the football down the field on them in the beginning of the game. They had to settle for a field goal, which happens. You know, and then Buffalo comes right back down. They get a touchdown. Now they go up 7-3. And all of a sudden, San Francisco, they're driving right back down the field. You know, they got a 1st and 10 at the Buffalo 29, and then they go backwards. And so I think that's, you have to be able to stay connected to them. You can't let them get away from you, and you've got to try to get away from them a little bit. But you can't be 2 plays and score because there's too much time on the clock. You got to control the pace of the game when you play them. And they're willing to give you as many 4 and 5 yard gains as you can take. but you've got to be able to be patient. And I don't think the 49ers, once they got behind, once they couldn't do it, you know, once there was a negative play in a drive, right? Mm-hmm. You know, they went first and 10, got 10 yards. They went 4 yards. Then they got a first down running. Then they got another, you know, then they couldn't get a positive play. And then next thing you know, they're punting back to them. And that's the problem. And look, you know, that last drive to make it 21-3, they went, 98 yards?
Right.
I mean, they went 97 yards down the field. So hats off to Buffalo. But look, this 49er team, in all fairness, without Joey, but without Nick Bosa, yep, without Trent Williams, Deebo Samuel's not the same player he once was, without Brandon Ayuk, without McCaffrey in the game, you know, without Banks, the left guard, they're just too beat up. They're not good enough. And you can't run that scheme that they run and not have dominant players. It's the same scheme that Gussie Bradley runs in Indianapolis. He gave up 447 yesterday and they won. Mm. You know, it's remarkable how Indianapolis was to win that game against the Patriots after the Patriots just moved the ball up and down the field on them.
And again, Christian McCaffrey, you alluded to it, out with that PCL injury, so he can be shut down for the remainder of the season. 5-7, last place in the NFC West, 2 games behind Seattle. It looks like it could be a lost season here for the Niners. You know, the only team to really handle the Buffalo Bills this year, it was the Baltimore Ravens, to your point, Michael, with that running attack that they had when they really laid into the Bills. The Eagles kind of flipped the script a little bit yesterday on the Ravens. They get that win 24-19. Really not as close late score there by the Ravens to kind of tighten that up after a 9-0 Baltimore lead. And then you saw that defense of the Eagles. Saquon Barkley does what he does, gets that touchdown in the fourth quarter to kind of break the game open. Eagles win again, Michael. 8th win in a row for the Eagles. What's your takeaway from this big-time clash in Charm City?
Well, I think to me, if you would have told me before the game that Jalen Hurts throws for 118 yards, I'd say they don't win the game. Mm. And they only ran for 140, Dave. I mean, it wasn't like they had the most. I mean, this is the best Baltimore's played defensively, I think, all year, frankly. Yeah. That was the best they've played. But, you know, when their kicker misses 2 field goals, now one was 53 yards. Okay, so that's a tough one. But the 47 one, and then the extra point. I mean, the extra point, just say he makes the 47 and the extra point, we're looking at a, you know, we're looking at a 2-point conversion to kind of get back into the game. So, you know, the bigger question coming out of this is, look, Baltimore's got to figure out their kicking situation. I don't know. You know, I heard Romo on TV say, well, you just got to keep going with them. Well, you're losing games. How do you keep going with them? I mean, how do you have any confidence to put them out there? Baltimore's not going to put them out there again. They're going to have to put them down. You know, I'm going to say they're going to cut them, but they're going to have to bring a kicker in. You don't have a 50-yard kicker in this league anymore. You can't win. It's too hard. I mean, yesterday, Joey Sly was trying a 68-yarder and he fell 3 yards short.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. You know, that would have might have won the game if he had got one more first down. If Mayo doesn't call a timeout for a Kodak down on the red zone, he has an extra timeout. Maybe he gets 8 more yards. They might have won that game. So my point here is they have to do something with Tucker. I don't see how you can keep going like this. He was 1 for 5 outside of 50 last year. I said it all off season. They're going to have to deal with the Tucker situation. Hey, look, then is then, now is now, Dave. And sometimes guys lose it. As much as you love Tucker, and he certainly could make a statement to get into the Hall of Fame, but right now he is not a good enough kicker for what Baltimore needs.
Yeah, Vinatieri, right? Even at the end of his Patriot days, they moved on from him. Right? You had to move on at some point.
Remember Vinatieri in his last year with the Colts killed their team?
Absolutely.
Remember he was shanking them left and right? He was playing army golf out there, right, left, right, left. I mean, it was so bad.
It is.
I mean, it's hard, though, Dave, but because the fans love him, but you have to be clinical here. You have to say to yourself, what would Bill Walsh do here? Bill Walsh would get another kicker. Mm. Now, I'm not saying Bill Walsh would send him out to the pastures and say, you're cut. But look, here's the reality. You know, next year you can't go into the season believing Tucker's going to be the guy. You're going to let him compete for the job, but he ties up a bunch of cap room and you're counting on him he was their closer.
Yes.
Remember how many times did we say, like, we're a betting network. How do you bet on the Ravens in a 3 or less point game knowing Tucker's still their kicker?
Whew.
It's one of the things I said last week. I said, I don't want any part of this. My line on this game was the Eagles should have been favored, but I was too scared of Lamar. But I was also too scared of Tucker.
And let's hear from Justin Tucker very quickly, because he talked about the issues and how it's affecting his Ravens team.
I hate that I've had to have this same conversation over the course of this season. But, you know, that's something that comes with the territory in this job description. The kicks are either good or not. And today I did not do a good enough job to help our team win the football game.
Yeah, I think to me that's pretty clear. And at least he takes some ownership. Yes. Last time he missed kicks, he was talking about the field in Pittsburgh. You know, that was another – that's a three-point game they lost there too. He missed kicks, right? Oh. I don't know how you could – now, they have the bye this week. Trust me, they're going to bring kickers in this week. There's just no way they're not bringing kickers in.
Have to at this point. Again, I'm glad he faced the music, but you're right. He's made some excuses in the past. They now have five losses. It's an 8-5 football team with the Ravens. The Steelers have now gone up a game and a half in that division. They get a 44-38 win over the Bengals. Michael, I mean, we've talked about it here on the Lombardi line through the weeks. You watch Russell Wilson, and it's almost like, hey, maybe Tomlin knows what he's talking about, right? Everybody said, oh, you got to stay with Fields. Russ goes for over four Bills yesterday in that win in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so tired of talking about Cincinnati. How Zach Taylor can look at his team and think he has any toughness. People are crying for, you know, Lou Amoromo to get fired. It's not Lou's fault. They don't practice. The team can't tackle. They have no speed. That's one of the worst defenses I've ever seen in my life. Mm. And they're not getting any better. Dave, they don't get any better. You know, and Zach Taylor thinks he's coaching in a 7-on-7 league. I mean, that's what he thinks he's doing. His team has no toughness. Like, all these people that think since he's going to turn it around because they have great offense doesn't understand the game of football. Football is about being physically tough in defense, right? The teams that win. Look at Atlanta. They played their best defensive game yesterday of the year, but their offense wasn't physically tough enough to really handle what the Chargers did, and Cousins throws four interceptions. They're 6-6, Dave. The same record they had with Arthur Smith last year.
4-8, Cincinnati. I saw on a graphic last night, in the hunt in the AFC, Cincinnati 4-8. What hunt? What hunt are you in? It's over for Cincinnati this year. When we come back, it's not over for the Buccaneers and a wild one in Minnesota. We'll get to all of those when you come back with us right here in the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are back in the Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross, Michael Lombardi here with you. You can have Rich Gannon join us in the next segment. Of course, our former NFL MVP quarterback to break down some of the quarterback play that we saw across the league yesterday. Michael, some of these wild finishes that we've seen in week 13, one more game tonight we'll get to with Denver hosting Cleveland. I don't know if the games were good. They were certainly competitive, right? Like, they were really competitive. And we saw one of those yesterday in Carolina, where if you're in Circa Survivor and you had the Buccaneers and you're down 3 with 30 seconds to go after a Bryce Young to Adam Thielen touchdown, you're thinking, man, I'm done. I'm out. But Baker Mayfield on one leg gets him down into field goal range to kick a 51-yarder to force overtime. Then they miss a field goal in OT. Carolina fumbles it back when they look like they're going to have the win. And then the Bucs survive in overtime, 26-23. Boy, Circa Survivor, it really is aptly named because they somehow survived in Carolina.
And they were 2-for-12 on third down the entire game. Think about that, you know, and give Bryce Young some props here, right? Yeah. I mean, most of us have written him off for dead, got benched after the first two games for whatever reason. I don't know. Nobody really has explained that now the way he's playing. And so, look, I think to me, you got to give Todd Bowles credit here. What won this game for him? He didn't waste any timeouts in the second half. You know, everybody criticizes game management when we see the obvious element. But the only reason he had a chance to come back with 30 seconds left to go in the game is because he had three timeouts. So, you know, he doesn't take the kickoff. He gets the ball at the 30. And so now all he needs is, you know what, 40 yards. He's got 30 seconds to play with, and he's got three timeouts. So that means he's got at least six plays counting the kick. So you get to give Baker six plays and you're trying to play soft and they don't really have a pass rush. You know, it was certainly doable. Now, it wasn't as doable as the ridiculous idea that Antonio Pierce had, that he needed to run one more play because 15 seconds was too much time for Patrick Mahomes. So that's a completely whole other category. But to me, give them credit. In Carolina, I mean, Chuba Hubbard rarely fumbles, mm-hmm. and the guy stripped the ball out of it. They made a great play to get it, and they came right back down. Look, the fumble didn't cost them the game. The defense not being able to stop the running game really did. I mean, Bucky Irving is really, and so is White. They've added an element. This, remember, this team last year, Dave, they were 32nd in the league in rushing.
Right.
And yet yesterday they ran for 236 yards.
Yeah, they've completely flipped it. And a team that could not run the football, now they really can. Yep, Mike Evans back. You see the impact he makes with a touchdown over 100 yards receiving as well. Their offense is clicking, that's for sure. So they stay alive in the NFC South with that win. And again, 11 circa survivors could have gone out with the 52 remaining. And I think the implied value now, Michael, is over $264,000 per entry that you have left. So, wow. Boy, it is a sweat right now to the final 52 here.
Yeah, everybody's probably, I mean, at what point do they all get together and say, hey, maybe it's probably not enough money for everybody right now.
Right.
You know, but I think at some point this month before Christmas, there's going to have to be a meeting of the minds, because if you survive this landmine, God bless you. You know, and anybody says this is a skill contest, I'd beg to differ. This is a lot of luck, because look, you're on the edge of your seat in Kansas City thinking you know, that was the safest play of the weekend. And thank God for Antonio Pierce. And, you know, and then that one there, right? You think you had that one. I mean, Houston, I'm telling you, Houston was another big play yesterday. Mm-hmm. And if Houston doesn't run for the first down, they're going to lose that game. Right. They're going to lose that game.
Well, and again, you go back, you look at it now, you see the Chiefs, you had 29 entries, could have gone out on Thursday. The Lions certainly could have lost with their 17. Cowboys and Packers were on the safe side there. So, I mean, we're getting down to it. So when do you start talking about a chop? It'd be very interesting to see. We got 52 left right now in Circus Survivor. By the way, if you're a hoops guy and you want to get into some more of the action here in DK, you can play Pick 6 from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Very, very easy. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app. Select two or more players. Choose if they're going to have more or less of a stat, such as, say, points, rebounds, three-pointers, and more. Pick 6 players can play $5. You get 50 in Pick 6 credits. So you download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now. Use code VSIN. That's VSIN for new customers. $5 is going to get you 50 in Pick 6 credits at DraftKings. So the Vikings, speaking of surviving, didn't get a pick six. There was a trend and a theme for some teams on the road that got pick sixes and scooping scores like Pittsburgh did. We saw Seattle get a pick six en route to victory. The Viking defense got a pick late of Kyler Murray, and I kind of felt like it turned the tide a little bit in a two-score game. They were down two scores at one point in the second half at home, and yet Minnesota figures out a way, 23-22, to beat Arizona. It kind of a costly loss for the Cardinals. They're a game back now in their division behind Seattle. But what do you make of the 10-2 Vikings? It's not pretty, Michael. They're not covering numbers. They didn't cover a number last week against the Bears and blew a big lead there. But to show you something to come back against a good defense in Arizona, what's your takeaway from the Vikings survive in advance?
Remarkable, right? I think to me, they just find ways to win games. And let's give Sam Darnold the credit, right? He's 21 for 31 in the game, doesn't throw an interception, makes a great throw. It was sacked 5 times in the game. But look, this was always going to be a hard game. I think Arizona is a little better of a team than people think, mm-hmm. but they did a good enough job on Murray. He had 45 attempts for 260 yards. I mean, when you get that many attempts for 260 yards, you're not letting them throw the ball down the field, which is really important. The longest pass play was just 22 yards. You can live with that, you know. But look, they were still – one thing about the Cardinals, when they can run the football effectively, and we saw it yesterday, Murray had 7 carries. You know, they were able to have 5 yards per carry in the rushing game. They just couldn't close the game out. And I think a lot of this comes down to, you know, the mistakes that they made. They're a young team that made mistakes, but give them credit. They hung in there and they had every chance to win. And Aaron Jones was the hero coming back with, you know, he fumbled. They had a couple bad plays in the game and they were able to look. You know, we all know this. The fourth quarter determines everything, right? We all say this all the time. The fourth quarter is really where the game is. The Vikings have field goal, touchdown, end of game, whereas the Cardinals have interception, field goal, interception. That's why you lose.
I'm watching, you know, we look at the Lions and we kind of all think, look, maybe they're the best team in the NFC. Maybe the Eagles are catching up to them very quickly, by the way. But that division's not done. And we got a big Thursday night game here. Green Bay, who's only got 3 losses as well, going into Detroit. Can the Vikings still win this? I mean, obviously, mathematically, certainly they can. They're 4-1 to win the division. But it feels like the odds are longer than I feel like they are in actuality. Like, the Lions have got a tough schedule coming up. The Vikings keep figuring out ways to win. It could come down to Detroit and Minnesota to decide this division with that game being played in Detroit.
Yeah, and look, Detroit's not healthy. That's the other problem. Right. I mean, Detroit, Pascal got hurt in that game. He hurt his knee. You know, Carlton Davis didn't play in the game. Taylor Decker didn't play in the game. I mean, the injuries are starting to mount, and I think that's the biggest concern if you're a Lions fan, is their injuries are really becoming problematic. And, you know, they had to take Jonah Williams off the practice squad of the Rams. It tells you that the defensive tackle situation, they're hurting a little bit. They've had two practice squad guys they've had to add. So, you know, they got to get healthy. Now, I'm sure this week they play Thursday night. What a great Thursday night game. Mm-hmm. Indoors, we don't have to worry about the snow in Detroit. And then, you know, and then they get 10 days to catch their breath a little bit. But I think the Eagles are breathing down their necks so tightly. Look, here's what I do know, you know, and I think they said it on the broadcast last night. You want to play, Detroit needs home field. They want to play in that dome, great crowd. You want Goff to feel comfortable in that. You don't want to have to come into Philly and deal with elements, right?
Right.
You don't want to have to go into, you know, some other place and have to deal with the weather and all those things. Not that Detroit can't handle it, because they're mentally tough. They really are. But I think at the end of the day, this is going to be the one that decides it. And they've got to have to do a really good job of jumping onto Green Bay and making Green Bay play from behind.
Yep, 7-1 for the Packers to win the conference. The Lions still the favorites to do so, at plus $1.50. Eagles right there, plus +240. Elliott Bowman is very excited about his Colts, only a couple games behind Houston. They get a win 25-24 over the Patriots. Michael, they go for two in the win after getting a fourth down conversion to potentially tie the game had they kicked the extra point. So the Patriots get the tickets, but the Colts get the win. Are the Colts still alive?
Well, you know why they went for two? I mean, they had to go for – look, I'm the anti-go for two in that situation, but I completely agree with that. When you're giving up 6.5 yards a play to a rookie quarterback, when a rookie quarterback's at 54% converting third downs, right, when you can't stop the other team from running, they had 200 yards on the ground. They averaged 6.5 yards per rush. They actually – and they gained 222 yards in the air. So, like, are you really going to let your defense go back out on the field in overtime and think you're going to win the game? I mean, seriously, you might as well take it. You might as well make it. I mean, how Gussie got on the plane to come home, I have no idea. Like, this defense is atrocious. I don't know how the Colts – I can't watch it. I can't watch it every week. It's the worst, you know, and people talk about, like, oh, you know, they're a high school defense is what they are. And they made Drake May, who was really a good young player, they made him look exceptional. Give Richardson credit. I mean, he made a great throw on the fourth down play, but, you know, I mean, look, they won the game. They were able to, if Mayo has one more timeout, if he has one more timeout, he might be able to move that field goal from 68 down to 60 and they make it.
It's amazing because, you know, we always say games don't land one. It lands one. If you had the two with the Patriots, you still get home. But the Colts keep their playoff hopes alive. Playoffs. I know it sounds crazy, but they do with that win. When we come back, Rich Gannon, our MVP quarterback, next year in the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on the Lombardi Line, Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi. And Michael, always love to catch up with Rich Gannon on a Monday morning quarterback session with our MVP here on the network. You can follow Rich as I do on X at RichGannon12. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. And Rich, it's funny, you know, we kind of talk about it every week and we're watching these games. They're exciting. Are they good? We're not quite sure. What do you make of the Jets to start off with, a Hall of Famer to be and Aaron Rodgers? I cannot believe when I look up. And, you know, the Bills have already wrapped up the division, and the Jets were the favorites to win the division all summer long. Where are the Jets and Aaron Rodgers?
They've been the favorite to win every week. I can't understand it. I just keep picking against them and seem to be doing pretty well. But, you know, I look at a team that's – they look old. They look like they don't practice a lot. They're not very physical. You know, Bill Callahan once made the comment, we got to be the dumbest team in football. I mean, the penalties, they had 12 penalties yesterday. You have multiple penalties on the same play. You know, it's just, it's guys lining up in the neutral zone. I mean, just the, the really dumb penalties. It's hard to win when you don't play smart football. And I just think when you look at a team that they don't, to me, they don't look like they practice. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has had the ball in his hands five times on a game winning drive, and they're 0-5. And how about this stat? I saw this morning. I couldn't believe it. Aaron Rodgers, he suffered his first career loss with a 14-point lead at home. When you go back to Lambeau and a MetLife, prior to that loss yesterday to Seattle, he was 74-0 with a 14-point lead in a game at home. So I think it tells you a little bit about where they're at. They didn't score in their final eight drives, ninth consecutive losing season. They have to blow it up. I mean, I don't know what else you do. You got a 41-year-old quarterback, and he turns 41 this week. I mean, what are you going to do with him? I mean, I can't imagine that he would finish out the season. I think you have to start looking towards the future.
I think you do, Rich. And I think to me, I think the Jets will make that move for him. I think they'll bench him and they'll put Tyrod in. And I, you know, don't put it beyond the Jets to embarrass him. I mean, look, the guy's going to go in the Hall of Fame. But what we saw in 21 when he won the MVP, we didn't see it in 22 when he was in Green Bay. And now he's not the same player. He doesn't throw the ball down the field. They're 28th in yards per attempt down the field. They're 31st in yards. I mean, this offense is really not good enough. And then when you break down the defense, for all the conversations that we have about how good they are on defense, they can't turn the ball over and they can't stop the run. So again, every week, everybody who thinks the Jets are going to turn it on, I'm sure they'll be the favorite against Miami this week in terms of the betting public. But you know, for at some point, and you can talk about this, at some point, you got to figure out that maybe I just don't have it and my career is coming to an end. I mean, that's a hard thing to really to have a conversation about, isn't it?
I think you're right. Look, I don't think they'll sit him. I think he'll have a situation where he's got a hamstring that's bothering him, a groin that's sore, you know, something that would keep him out of practice and just shut him down for the season. I think that's probably the appropriate way to handle a future Hall of Famer. But I just think it's you know, you hate to see guys that have had great careers. I think about Joe Namath, you know, going out to play for the Rams. Johnny Unitas going to play for the San Diego Chargers. You know, it's just they didn't look right in those uniforms, and they didn't play well. And I just think Aaron Rodgers at this point in his career, he's simply not playing well. And the other thing, it's really apparent, guys, when you watch the film, he is so frustrated by what's going on around him. Now, he's not playing great. I get that. But you watch the facial expressions, the body language, when guys are running the wrong routes, guys aren't stopping in the right spots, guys are running zone beaters versus man coverage. You know, just those type of things, those type of mistakes, the frustration he has with the sidelines, with the mismanagement of game situations, with the head coach, with the play callers. It's just it's frustrating. When you're used to operating at such a high level, and now all of a sudden you go to a dysfunctional place that's trying to piece things together week by week. And you're used to operating at a level where it's efficient. There's attention to detail. There's professionalism, accountability, and it's not there. Trust me, I've been in that situation. It's very frustrating.
Rich, I'm glad you said it about the Jets uniforms. They didn't look good either. I'm with you on that one, too. I got to ask you about Kirk Cousins. Look, I don't think he's going to go to the Hall of Fame like Aaron Rodgers one day, but it didn't look good yesterday as well. Four picks. The pick six really was the turning point against the Chargers in that loss. It hasn't looked good over the last three games. What do you make of Kirk, and why is this not working out so far, at least with Raheem Morris here, at least in the last month?
I don't know that Raheem Morris is going to be the answer long-term for the Atlanta Falcons. That's just my personal opinion. I don't have anything against him. I just don't know that he's a detail guy. When you watch that team play, you watch him function. The other thing I would say about Kirk Cousins, go back and watch the Denver game from the last time they played prior to yesterday. He got banged around. He got knocked around. And when you get a guy like Cousins, when you pressure him up inside, he doesn't move very well. He's not going to be able to escape to his right or left. That's not really his deal. He's not a real tall quarterback, so pressure up inside really affects him. But I just don't think they're doing a great job protecting him. I think he gets rushed. I think he gets hurried. I think he gets flustered. And yesterday, just some of the mistakes, I mean, some of the throws you saw from Cousins were just, you know, ugly throws, not throws that you typically see with a veteran quarterback. I think when he has a clean pocket, when they're running the ball well, when they're playing well around him, we saw that in Minnesota and in other places, he can be a very functional player. But when you look at a guy that a lot like Aaron Rodgers doesn't have the mobility, not that Cousins ever really was a great pocket guy in terms of his ability to escape and manufacture offense on his own, but he doesn't have that escapability right now, and pressure up inside really affects Kirk Cousins.
You know, it's amazing. This is the anti-Charger game. I mean, most of the time in the past, the Chargers usually would have outgained somebody, would have been the team that was the great offense. Yesterday, they had 187 yards of offense. They converted 3 third downs the entire day, and yet they come out with a victory because Cousins couldn't convert third downs. He was 21%, and he turned the ball over 4 times. And this is probably the best game Atlanta played defensively all year, and they still couldn't win a game. So to me, you know, all those Atlanta Super Bowl tickets, you might want to tear them up. How about Bryce Young, Rich? I mean, you got to love that this kid's actually come back, and everybody was giving him, saying he wasn't. And I actually think if you're really honest with yourself, it's a lot closer between him and CJ Stroud now than it was last year, because CJ's not playing well either.
Michael, I think if you look at the first 3 starts this year, they're very similar to what we saw in his rookie year. Not good. But if you look at his last 4 starts, you've got to be really encouraged if you're the folks down there in Carolina. I mean, just 1 turnover in his last 4 starts, he's playing better. I think when you really look at situationally, that's where when I've gone back and studied him over the last month. Check him out situationally. Look at him on 3rd down. Look at him versus pressure. Look at him in 2-minute situations late in the game when blitzed. He's been a lot better in those situations. They're scoring more. He looks more comfortable. He's playing with more confidence. You know, he's making some plays with his legs. They're getting him under center a little bit more. You know, they threw it 46 times yesterday. They weren't able to run the football, and yet he played well. And I think that's encouraging. He played well enough in a divisional game, gave him a chance to win. They're 2-2 in his last 4 starts, and all 4 of those games have been decided by 3 points. I think the needle is pointing in the right direction right now for Bryce Young.
I got to ask you about the only quarterback to throw for over 400 yards in week 13, at least so far, 1 more game to go. Russell Wilson in Cincinnati for the Steelers. Everybody's like, hey, they got to go with Fields. And then finally, when he's healthy, they go to Russell Wilson. It looks like that offense, Rich, it just looks different with Russ operating it. What do you make of that match with Arthur Smith and what they're doing in Pittsburgh?
I think you got to look at, you know, everything in perspective. I don't think Cincinnati's been very good defensively all year. I think it's been a disappointing year for Lou Anarumo and his unit. But I do think Russ has got a kind of a resurgence, if you will. I think he's comfortable in his environment. I think Mike Tomlin does a great job. I think it's a really good situation for a veteran quarterback. You've got a really good defense. They're really good in the kicking game. They're well coached. They're disciplined. They play hard. They're physical. They can run the football. I mean, all those things bode well for a quarterback that has had some problems in the past. And I just think he's playing with a lot. Like we talked about Bryce Young. You know, confidence, guys, is so important at any position. I mean, look at what's happening with Justin Tucker right now. I mean, the guy's lost his confidence. He can't kick the ball from outside of 50, which is, you know, was a problem last year. Was 1 of 5. This year, he's just 2 of 7. But getting back to Russell, I mean, he's playing with some confidence. And I think he feels comfortable with the group around him. And it's been fun to see.
Yeah, Rich, let's talk about Tucker. What do they do? I mean, they have no choice but to make a decision and bring in another kicker, don't they?
Michael, his career is 89%. Right now he's at 70%. They have 5 losses by a combined 22 points, and Tucker's missed 22 points worth of kicks in those five losses. I mean, it's not just missing kicks. It's critical kicks, right? Kicks that matter, like extra points. He missed 3 kicks yesterday. Not that it would have mattered yesterday against the Eagles overall, but you know, he's not playing very well. And I think it's such a you've been in that situation, Michael, as a general manager. You have to decide, do we bring in another kicker? Do we sneak the guy in the side door on a Tuesday when the players stay off and have the kicker? You know, I think the Ravens have to look at something. They're too good of a football team to be able to get to the postseason and lose playoff games because of the kicker.
It's amazing because he had never missed 3 kicks, as you mentioned, guys, 2 field goals and an extra point in any game in his career. And that happened yesterday. And as Michael pointed out earlier in the show, could have made all the difference in the world early in the game when the Ravens were up top 9-0. And then that lead was squandered and Tucker did not help out. Rich, always appreciate it. Great catching up on a Monday. Thanks for hopping on the Progressive Guest Line with us.
Thanks, Dave. Thanks, Michael.
Great stuff. Thanks, as Rich. Always from our MVP quarterback, Rich Gannon. All right, when we come back, some of those other games, Michael, that we haven't gotten to yet and how it's going to affect what we might see next week and maybe in the futures market coming up here. So come on back. It's the Lombardi Line here on VSiN.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We are back on the Monday edition of the Lombardi Line. Dave Ross and Michael Lombardi here with you. And we were kind of alluding to it, Michael, early in the program, that teams that got defensive touchdowns on the road had success. We all saw Seattle. It kind of flipped their game against the Jets. Leonard Williams with a big interception return for a touchdown flipped that game.
Wow.
And that was how that must have felt so good for Leonard Williams to do that back in his own old home, right? And then flip that game against the Jets.
Man, he was dominant in the game, and thank God he had that posse in front of him to help him get to the end
convoy.
Zone because the convoy was great, right? I mean, if not, he would have never been able to get there. But look, I mean, the Jets just so many teams just lose games. I mean, look, the Patriots. That was a perfect example of losing the game and not the Colts winning. I mean, they played good enough on defense, but they let the Colts win. The Chargers. I mean, Atlanta just gave them the game here on the silver platter, turned the ball over in the fourth quarter with interceptions, make mistakes. But I think Rich made a great point. I think the one thing about Atlanta is if you start to move around and start hitting Cousins, he's got a little, you're going to affect him. He's not going to be the same player. And I think that's that offensive line, which is everybody thinks is a great offensive line in Atlanta, didn't come through. The fact that Atlanta got 5 sacks yesterday, which is not typical. Atlanta went into the off week. They changed what they did defensively, and it caught the Chargers off guard. The Chargers looked like they were just a deer in the headlights. They couldn't move. They couldn't make a play. And if it wasn't for the interception return for a touchdown, I don't know how the Chargers score points.
And that's the takeaway for me is that, at 8-4, you come off that loss on Monday night. You got to go cross country and you somehow figure out a way that where you didn't move the football, only 147 yards passing for Herbert. Gus Edwards only carried it for 32 yards. That's it. Like, Michael, is this the Harbaugh effect? They've got a big one against the Chiefs. We'll get to that now, number two, as well. If they have any visions of grandeur of catching Kansas City, I don't know if that's possible. But it doesn't feel like they're clicking with everything yet. They do figure out ways to win. What do you make of that type of win on short rest cross country?
That's Jim Harbaugh. I mean, this is who they are. This is what we were saying all along. This is why we encourage people this spring to bet the over because the coach matters. For all those people that think coaching doesn't matter, it's a talent game, you're an idiot, right? Coaching matters. And we see it. I mean, Herbert went through for 147 yards. 48 of them was his long pass. I mean, why do you think they're winning? They couldn't really run the ball. They only had 17 carries in the game. So, but they find ways to win and give Jesse Minter credit defensively. He confused Kirk Cousins. They made plays. They made critical plays at critical times. And, they won the fourth quarter.
Yep. And again,
Atlanta's fourth quarter, they have 24 plays in the fourth quarter. In a one score game, they have 24 plays in the fourth quarter. They have 7 first downs.
Oof.
And they throw 2 interceptions.
That's the dagger, and that's how you lose football games. So, again, remember that win total, as Michael's alluding to, was 8.5, and I did play the adjusted win total at 9.5 here. So, got to get 2 more to get that ticket cash. But I like where I sit, and certainly if you were listening to the network, we advise playing that over because coaching really does matter. Certainly in L.A., it matters with the Rams as well. And Sean McVay had never been shut out in a first half in his NFL coaching tenure. It happened yesterday in New Orleans, but they were only down 6-0. Then 3 touchdown drives in the second half. They get a 21-14 win at New Orleans. Again, kind of like that Charger theme that we're talking about, Seattle, that theme going across country. Same thing for the Rams here. Maybe you don't play your best football, Michael, but you still find out a way to win and keeps their playoffs hope alive at 6-6. What's your takeaway from this Rams win?
Well, I think, look, the Rams were resilient, right? They really were. They were resilient. The game started out typical of the Saints. They have a 12-play drive and they miss a field and they get a field goal. Then they come back, they have a 14-play drive and they miss a 34-yard field goal killer, right? And then they go into they get a field goal at the end of the half. But the second half, when the game's on the line, my man Ricky Fowler, aka Derek Carr, he just can't make a play. He's got the winning drive. He's got the ball with 8:54 to go in the game. He's driving it down the field. He's got a chance to get it in the end zone. They got a 4th-and-2. All he's got to do is throw the stick route. It's wide open. It's wide open, and he holds the ball.
Yep.
It's just so maddening. It's so frustrating. And then, of course, he walks off the field like it's somebody else's fault. Like this, this is what happens when Derek Carr's your quarterback. You're just not good enough. And credit the Rams for battling through it. I mean, the Rams second half, they had 1 punt and 3 touchdowns. And the Saints defense just couldn't hold up. They couldn't do it. And when the look, here's what I'll always say about the Rams. It'll be a when they can run the football, when they have balance in their attack, they had 29 rushes yesterday, averaged 5.4 per carry. You know, Stafford only had to throw the ball 24 times. You know, he only had 183 yards, but he made critical plays when they needed him to. But this, you know, the Saints had every chance to win it, except when the game's on the line and the Saints need a play from their quarterback, he can't make one. He's 5-for-15 on third down. He's 0-for-2 in the red zone. How many times have we talked on the Lombardi line on every show about Derek Carr's inability to put the ball into the end zone, his inability to make a clutch play in a clutch time? It's just so obvious. And yet he's good enough to keep paying $40 million a year to, but he ain't good enough to win with.
So glad you made that point in the fourth down play that could have potentially tied up the game. It's right there. You got to get the ball out of your hands. I don't know what he was waiting for on that fourth down.
The guy was wide open.
Wide open.
He was wide open. I mean, all he do is throw it to him. It was a pitch and catch.
As easy as it gets, don't wait. Speaking of not waiting, don't wait any longer. You've got today is the last day to get the Black Friday special here at VSiN. You get access to everything we do for just $60 all the way through May 1st. Daily best bets, betting splits. We got it from DraftKings and Circa, of course. 24/7 video access, everything you need all the way through March Madness. How about that? But today's it. You got to get it today. $60, VSiN.com/subscribe. Again, that's VSIN.com/subscribe. I think we were waiting for a breakout performance from the Commanders in D.C. They got it. 42-19 over the Titans. I got to be honest, Michael, this was my big miss of the week. I thought maybe taking the 6 of Tennessee might be the play here. And Will Levis, they turned a corner. No. Hadn't done so.
Everybody was on that. I mean, the Titans were the universal pick, weren't they?
Yep.
I mean, everybody was on them. And I think to me, look, I hate betting the Titans because I have no interest in trusting. I have no interest in trusting Will Levis. I'm still not sold on Will Levis. And I do think their defense, but they just gave this game away. They just turned the ball over. I mean, you know, when you look at the drive chart, you know, the Tennessee, they come out and they have two fumbles in the fourth quarter, one by Pollard, one on the kickoff. Mm-hmm. The game was over. It was over in the first quarter. I mean, here's the reality. Tennessee can't play from behind. You don't want Will Levis throwing the ball 50 times. You can't play from behind. Look, this is a tough year for them, but when Will Levis has got to throw it 37 times, you got no chance to win, right? Yeah. And he didn't throw an interception, but he's 18 for 37. There's too many incomplete passes. Jaden Daniels was 25 for 30. He only had five. See, that's the other thing you have to constantly look at. Is the ability, do you have incomplete passes? Like, that's where Bryce Young's got to get better. He had too many incomplete passes. You know, this is pro football. It's not college. You got to complete those throws. But the Titans, as good as we think they are on defense, the Commanders ran for 267 on them, and it was really not a problem. And only 34 came from Daniels.
You know, it's amazing because I think you get to certain points of the season, year two for Will Levis. What do you have there? I think Jaden Daniels in D.C., they feel pretty good about what they have there with the rookie quarterback. In Jacksonville, they lose 23-20. The bigger story there was Trevor Lawrence being knocked out of that game. Al Jahir with that vicious hit. We'll talk about suspensions, fines, all those things. The Texans do get the win 23-20. Michael, what'd you make of the play, and what does the league have to do?
Well, they got to suspend him. And I mean, thank God they threw him out of the game, or he would have gotten, there's no way the game could have continued. I mean, he was out of control. I was really unimpressed with Houston's reaction, the coaching staff reaction. I mean, if this is your team and this is undisciplined, Will Anderson was trying to handle it. Mm. He was trying to, you could see some of the leaders on their team, but I am not impressed at all with the Houston Texans. I watched that game. I picked Houston in, I was laid 3.5 in the contest with Russo. And so I had vast interest in this game, and I'm up 23-6, and they couldn't rush the passer. They couldn't get anywhere near Mac Jones. Mac Jones was playing like he was like a Pro Bowl player. He's darting the ball down the field. He gets the 2 point to beat me at the end of the game. And if they don't run for a first down, I think they're going to come back and tie the game up. But that hit, they had to throw him out of the game. I think he'll get suspended for a game. I'm sure he'll appeal it, but just the behavior, just the whole the whole scenery of the game. You know, we had a weekend of bad looks, right? This college football, whether it was North Carolina, North Carolina State, Ohio State, you know, we'll get to that when we talk about Ryan Day in the next hour, which is on my mind. But I think to me, you can't, as commissioner or the commissioner of the league or commissioner of the NFL, you can't tolerate that.
Ugly scene, ugly game. 23-20 does turn out to be the final. So again, if you had Jacksonville, somehow you get the money +3.5. When we come back, hour number two, we'll find out what's on your mind and the game of the week. That is next here in the Lombardi Line.